All right. Welcome to episode number 6 of Woo-hoo! The Cabin. I'm Eric Paulson. She's Mariah Haberman.
Very
That's
energetic.
Audio Dave over there. And Ellen over there. Hi, Ellen.
Hey.
Ellen tends to be the quiet one. She directs us during these episodes and keeps us off of tangents. Well, and I guarantee we won't get off on any this time.
She tries.
Certainly no tangents.
No, of course not.
That's a lie.
Now, despite that, we will be drifting in this episode.
I need a drum... symbol thing.
You have one of those?
A drum symbol thing.
Is that the technical term?
Yeah.
That's a rim shot.
Oh, sorry. That's a rim shot?
A drum symbol thing. Yeah, I guess that is a drum symbol thing. Okay. And so we're going we're going to drift a little bit, kind of like we just did, and also talk with a teddy. Not the teddy who's the big bear in the corner here, but another one.
A new teddy.
A new teddy. Right here on the cabin. The Cabin is presented by the Wisconsin Counties Association, and this week we're featuring La Crosse County, which is the most populous county on Wisconsin's western border, containing the state's most populous city on the western border, La Crosse, and its large neighbor, Onalaska. Also, 4 villages in La Crosse County, Bangor, Holman, Rockland, and West Salem, home to the La Crosse Speedway, and 12 towns, along with a number of unincorporated communities, the beautiful Mindoro Cut, which is an awesome thing to drive or especially ride your motorcycle through. Famously, the home of Ed Gein, the man who inspired Silence of the Lambs.
Why was this included?
That's a great reference.
Fun fact.
And Granddad's Bluff, which I was at most recently, just a couple weeks ago, actually. Just framing the eastern edge of La Crosse. And Granddad's Bluff towers 1,183 feet above sea level, about 550 feet above the city, and a beautiful place to go.
Home of our producer, Ellen, who I'm guessing we can thank for the Ed Gein fact.
Well, college home of me.
Yeah. Oh, right.
But yeah, I thought that was really interesting. And I wanted to put that in there.
And on that note, our thanks to the Wisconsin Counties Association. Thank you for helping to furnish the cabin here. And let's light this campfire, Mariah.
Let's do it. Okay, this week's campfire conversation I am so excited about, and it probably will come as no surprise to anyone who's sick of me talking about the Driftless area.
Why is it called the Driftless area?
Well, funny you should ask. I have the answer for you, Eric. The Driftless area, first of all, it's located in the so it's in the American Midwest. It's not just Wisconsin.
Right, the lion's share of it's here.
So I know, yeah, do you want to know exactly how much of it?
Ooh, you have a percentage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me guess. 73%.
Audio Dave.
42. Oh, no.
I was signaling to you. Ellen, do you want to
90? 90%?
It's 85%.
Okay.
I think I was closest.
Yeah. I'll give that to Alan. So it's in southwestern.
You lived there for a while.
It's in southwestern Wisconsin, southeastern Minnesota, northeastern Iowa, and northwestern Illinois. But like I said, 85% of the Driftless area is right here in Wisconsin. It's really noted by the deeply carved river valleys after having escaped glaciation during the last ice age, which was about 10,000 years ago. So in other words, the glaciers didn't come to that area. They came and flattened kind of the rest of the state of Wisconsin, but they didn't get to that part of Wisconsin, which is why the topography is so interesting and gorgeous.
Yeah, they did a nice little end around that part. And that's why you find few, if any, natural lakes in the Driftless area.
True. A lot of rivers, very winding rivers.
And streams and lots of it's very different from the rest of the state in that regard.
Yeah, and it's very rural. I mean, there's not a lot of folks in general, and a lot of people will ask me, where can I go that's more off the beaten path? And that is why I think I tend to bring the Driftless area up so much, because there's just not a lot of tourism there, I think. I agree, and I know, you know, a lot of people say, and I wrestle with this a lot, when they'll say, we don't want people to know about our thing here, and I get that, but at the same time, tourism, obviously, it's the second largest industry in the state of Wisconsin, our third largest industry in the state of Wisconsin.
It's up there.
Huge. So I'm always kind of touting that area of Wisconsin because it's just so gorgeous. And there's a big Amish culture there, which I'm personally very fascinated by. Just a lot to do. A lot of great parks.
A lot to do, a lot to see. It's the most photo-worthy part of the state, I think.
Yeah, I would totally agree.
You get so many just great views of high up, down in the valleys. It's just spectacular. There's a lot of roads that are called hollows. You know, they go through hollows and all these. It's like a trip far, far away.
It really is.
And it's not far at all.
No.
From Madison, it's minutes.
It's not. I always tell people. So my very first trip through, like driving through the Driftless area, I was 22. And I was interviewing for a job at Organic Valley. So I went through all those teeny tiny towns on the way there. And I just remember driving so slowly because I was like, this is Wisconsin. It didn't, that was not what Wisconsin was to me, being from South Central Wisconsin. And I'm always taken aback by just how few people have really went and driven through the area. Just really, really cool area.
It is. There's a lot of caves, by the way.
Yeah.
In that area, because there's so much, you know, rough topography.
The most iconic one being?
Cave of the Mounds. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is really, I love that spot because they host a lot of really cool events, like really cool music events down in the cave.
I still have to get to one of those.
Yeah, we got to get you there and get some cool, you can record some really cool audio there.
I would love that.
It's really easy to get to. It's right off 18 and 151, which is one of the few expressways through the Driftless
area. And, you know, it's one of those places, it's a big field trip destination. I definitely remember going as a kid, and you... It's probably a spot you kind of forget about as you get older because it has that field trip, you know, sort of.
Well, you see the signs for it all over the place.
You do, yeah. But I'm telling people, look up the events. They have really cool, just like brew events where you can grab a beer down in the cave and just bring your friends. And they've got like, they had like a folk band up in like the barn area. It's just, it's not just for kids, in other words. There's a lot of cool things to do there.
They have a lot of great events. And it's right near Blue Mound, which is the tallest point in southern Wisconsin. It goes to about 1,700 feet or so. Mm-hmm. And if you're from Milwaukee, Blue Mound Road or Brookfield or something, Blue Mound Road is a major road there. It's named after the Blue Mound because that's where it goes.
Oh, didn't know that.
It's a beautiful, if you go to the Blue Mound and then go up on the observation towers there, I mean, you can see easily 30 or 40 miles in every direction on a clear day. Yeah. And that area of the state is beautiful from a high vantage point like that.
There's what is also, that altitude compared to, what is it, Tim's Hill?
It's about 200 feet lower than Tim's Hill.
Okay.
There's a lot of areas in the northern part of the state that go higher than Blue Mound, but in southern Wisconsin, I believe that is the tallest point.
Cool.
I think you're right.
Now, you always feel like you're taller than everywhere else when you're by the Mississippi River. And you're seeing all of these, you know, tall bluffs. We talked about Granddad's Bluff. There's another really, really great place to view where the Wisconsin River flows into the Mississippi. And that's just south of Prairie du Chien. And you've been to this state park, right?
Wyalusing State Park? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's the second oldest state park in Wisconsin.
You're probably
second
right.
Or third. They just celebrated their 100th anniversary a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And to go there and hit those trails, it is really stunning.
Yeah, and I believe we talked about in episode 5 about a little bit about Prairie du Chien and just how old of a city it is in Wisconsin.
Second oldest in the state.
Fascinating history there. I really do like Prairie du Chien. You can actually sneak on over to Iowa and get a really cool view of Wyalusing State Park in Wisconsin. You can see the rivers converging right there.
Yes.
And that's one of the coolest views in the state, I think.
Oh, I'll debate that with anyone.
Sunsets are just phenomenal.
There's a picnic area and a trail you can stand down. And there's a big rock wall. It's only about 2-3 feet high, but it becomes the observation area. And you can just see, you get like a 270-degree view from this one place.
Really?
You can look north into Prairie du Chien. You can look over into Iowa. And just, there's bald eagles flying around. It's at the edge of all these trails. It's just really fantastic. And then you go a little bit south in that same park, and there's all these monuments to things like the carrier pigeon that used to be prevalent. And old Native American mounds are in there. And just all kinds of really, really stunning
things.
And
normally I'm not pushing, you know, out-of-state tourism, but if you do go to Pikes Peak State Park over in Iowa and look over, that's the view I'm talking about that overlooks Wisconsin. You see where the Wisconsin River meets the Mississippi River. You see Wyalusing out on one side, and you see the city of Prairie du Chien on the other side. And like you said, that kind of, you almost get almost a 360 view of, you know, of the area. And
it's just that. On the Iowa side at Effigy Mounds National Monument, too.
Well, and I'm going to test my history here, but was it Marquette and Joliet? Is that who came down, or am I mixing up my
Yeah, those were the explorers.
Historians? Okay, the explorers coming
and one
in.
One of the towns there is called Marquette on the Iowa side.
And every time I go to Pikes Peak, I've been there several times, I always am like, man, this is what, not to get like real back in time here, but this is like what they saw when they came and like discovered the area. Like, it just looks untouched. Like, that's what's so cool about that view.
Yeah, it still looks untouched.
It really does. Yeah, it really does.
And you hear the trains along the Mississippi once in a while, but
you know, when we talk about the Driftless area, I tell a lot of people when they're looking for something cool to do, go take your car or go rent one, or your motorcycle if you have one, and go drive down the Mississippi River, aka the Great River Road. Mm-hmm. It takes you right through the Driftless area. If you start north and head south, you're going to have the Mississippi River to your right the entire time and these beautiful bluffs to your left. You can go obviously either direction, but that is one of my favorite suggestions for people because the little towns along the way, and we covered off on Prairie du Chien, but that's considered to be probably a big town, that one in La Crosse.
That's the second largest town.
Yeah, I was going to say for the Mississippi River town, it's pretty big, but there's Potosi and there's just up north.
Fairyville and Stoddard and Trempealeau.
Trempealeau
Hotel is a great stop. Alma and Fountain City.
Stockholm,
and all the way up to Prescott.
Oh, I've always loved my time in those river towns over there.
Great River Road is consistently rated one of the most beautiful drives in the country. It's right up there with California One on the Pacific Coast.
That's crazy.
Wow. I mean, it's ranked high.
I don't think people realize that.
Especially in the fall and the colors.
Yeah, it's probably the best time to go.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But the Driftless area actually extends further north than a lot of people realize, too, because it does get up towards Eau Claire.
Mm-hmm.
And that also includes some of those small towns that are really, like, if you're on I-94 mm-hmm. between Eau Claire and Tomah, I mean, there's a lot of topography you see there. But if you get off on any of those highways, like 95 or 121, and really travel through some of those small towns, or if you're up on 93 or US 53, it's so, I know all the roads.
Sorry, I'm laughing because I want to chime for every time he mentions a roadway name. Because I'm nodding like I know all of these, and I know some of the ones
you know what
you'll
come across, Mariah,
What's
is a
that?
Lot of hidden gems.
Felt Love like it. A reach, but I'll give it to you anyway.
I was trying. One of the towns that's just off I-94 is Osseo.
Oh, yeah.
Which has a big Norwegian history.
Sure does.
And it's home to one of the most famous pie shops in the state, which has had one or two other locations open since. But this is the original in Osseo, and it's Norskenook.
Yeah, I love it. They've got four locations.
I know of DeForest and Rice Lake, and the original is in Osseo. If they have another location, I don't know
Hayward.
Do they have one in Hayward?
Which one did you...
You're at the Barron one in Rice County. Lake for the show. Yeah. There is one episode that shows Mariah eating pie for like 2 minutes in
it. Yes. Accurate. That's a day in the life of me.
There's also Northwoods Brewing there, which is in a really old, it's like a refurbished old factory, which is a huge building. And the town is really charming. And then you just go right off into all those beautiful hills and valleys. So every small town there has something unique and cool to offer.
Yeah.
And a lot of really old, and most of those small towns were founded back in the mid-1800s. Because every small town was built to serve the farms nearby and the creameries nearby. And that's one of the reasons, like in the Midwest and including Wisconsin, there's a town about every 6 or 7 miles along a lot of these roads. Because that's about how many farms were around. They all needed a town close by to serve them. And that's one of the reasons we've developed the way we did. But so each of these towns has a unique story to tell and some unique buildings in their downtowns. And in the Driftless area, less of it has changed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really want to kind of step back in time, that's where to go.
Yeah. There's just so many cool places. One that I think flies under the radar right here in Dane County is Indian Lake County Park. One of my favorite county parks, actually,
off 19?
In the state. Yes. Really, really cool. Just wide open. I've got a dog too, so it's selfishly I like to go there because I've got a great open dog park. But I just love how wide open it is. And the cool thing about the Driftless is the journey to wherever you're going is just part of it. I mean, because it's so pretty and there aren't a lot of square-shaped acres in the Driftless. It's all
a lot of the
different.
Farms are terraced up and down these hills, which actually adds to the beauty. And that's one of the reasons Frank Lloyd Wright became the architect he did. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was born in Richland Center.
He was very
Taliesin
much inspired by...
outside Spring Green. He's in the heart of the Driftless.
He really is. Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons he was inspired to build homes and other structures that kind of married themselves with the land and in some cases were built into hills and things like that. Because when nature is that beautiful, you don't want to take something that's man-made and dominate over it.
Totally.
You want it to blend with the land. And that became part of his philosophy because of the Driftless.
And we haven't talked a lot about the outdoor recreation, but that's probably obvious with just how gorgeous it is there. Kayaking with the winding rivers, the Kickapoo is one of the crookedest rivers in the world.
It is the crookedest river in the world.
And fly fishing is a big deal with all the rivers down there in southwestern Wisconsin.
With all those streams and the rushing waters and everything. And the Kickapoo Valley Nature Reserve.
Oh, I haven't been there yet. That's definitely on my own bucket list.
They've redone that a couple of times because they were going to build a huge dam there.
Yeah.
And kind of eliminate a huge chunk of the Kickapoo by doing that. And they stopped that. And that's why there's a reserve there.
Another really cool area, and I know there's probably hundreds, but this was one that I didn't know about, and we featured it in our Dodgeville episode, which is Bloomfield Prairie. I think I kind of forget about just the cool prairie land. And what was cool about Bloomfield, it's huge, first of all, a huge, wide open area, is this is what they're like, this is what Wisconsin really did look like back then. They totally restored the prairie. And you're like, I believe it. Like, this is what, it was just so gorgeous. Like, again, the wide open, expansive views. It was very windy. So Audio Dave is probably not going to like my interview there. But it is just, it's just, I mean, on a really nice spring day, like, nothing better than that, I don't think.
Cool.
Yeah, very cool.
The Driftless area is very, very popular with motorcyclists. And if you go out there, because I love going on road trips out there too, but you will see them like just in packs going from town to town and from bar to bar in these little taverns and just enjoying the heck out of a day, because it is like a trip for, if you're in Milwaukee or Green Bay or something, that's like a mini trip to Colorado almost. Yeah.
I know. It's true. It really is. And you're right. Motorcyclists love the Driftless area.
Growing up in Green Bay, I had no idea that was within this state. That kind of region existed here. It was just the first time I drove out, I kind of had to pull over every now and then, just like take a picture out the window. Like, this is incredible. Mm-hmm.
There are scenic views everywhere. And that's one of the reasons, like the first rail to trail in the United States for bicycling, where they pulled up an old railroad, took the tracks off, left the railroad bed, added crushed limestone, and made it a bike trail, was the Elroy Sparta Trail, which is in the heart of the Driftless area.
Yep.
That opened in 1967. And the cool thing about that trail is when you build railroads, you have to make them fairly level.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a grade of more than, I think, I don't know if it's 3 or 5 or 7%, really? Something in there. But the Elroy Sparta Trail is like that. So it's pretty flat, you know, very gradual up, very gradual down. And you go through those tunnels, too. But you'll notice as you're biking between Elroy and Sparta, sometimes you're level with the land and you haven't felt like you've gone uphill. Mm-hmm. But at one point you look over the side and it's way down there. You know, you realize because it's had to kind of counter the land because the land is so hilly.
Yeah.
But then when you go down below, then you go through those tunnels that were hand dug back. Because the railroad opened in 1871 and dynamite was not invented until 1873. And so those were hand-dug tunnels, and one of them is almost a mile long.
Wow.
So it's such a cool—and the Omaha Trail has a nice tunnel, too. I biked on that for the show. And so you don't find that in many other parts of the state, or the country, for that matter.
Yeah. Norskadalen was one of my favorite Driftless gems.
Norskadalen.
So cool.
Actually, if you want the Driftless area in one location— Norskadalen will give it to you.
I would say, and I was just thinking, I'm like, you know, we're giving people a lot to take in because the Driftless is so large. It's a huge, you can't explore it all in a weekend. You just can't.
Oh.
So I guess if you're trying to figure out, I mean, I'll go back to my comment about the Great River Road.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's a good place to start and maybe doing part of it or all of it in a weekend. But I agree with you that if you just want a day trip, driving out to the Coon Valley area and taking in Norskadalen, which is a really cool, I think, kind of an outdoor museum, historic,
living,
historic area.
It's a living history museum.
Yeah, it's really, really beautiful. The surrounding area is just absolutely stunning. I also really love the Viroqua and Cashton area. Like, I talked about how there's a big Amish community in the Driftless in general, but especially in Cashton. It's not uncommon to be slowed down in the traffic of the Amish horses and buggies, which I love.
And Cashton, those are all kind of along the same roads, 14 and 61. If you go up to Westby, which is also a big Norwegian town, that's between Cashton and Norskadalen, you'll see one of the world's, highest, but you'll see a major ski jump there.
Oh.
And they have jumping there in early February every year.
That's cool.
And you'll see that for miles around, too.
Very cool.
That's very cool. And then in Viroqua, of course, the Driftless Cafe, which is becoming very well known across the country. And Viroqua, it was the home of Butch Vig, who produced Nirvana's album Nevermind, and there's a huge artistic and musical, I don't want to call it a tradition, but there, it's a center for that now in the middle of the Driftless. And the Driftless area is attracting a lot of artists and a lot of creative people who are inspired by the natural beauty, much as Frank Lloyd Wright was. So there we go. That is our campfire conversation.
That's been a lot of great things about a great area.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to take us out of the Driftless. I want to tell you guys a little bit about Discover Wisconsin's official 2020 choice employer. And that's Marshfield Clinic. Founded in 1916, there's over 50 Marshfield Clinics in Wisconsin. That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, they've got a lot of involvement with flu vaccine development, telehealth. Do you know what telehealth is?
That's where you diagnose people using technology a lot of times.
Yeah, isn't that cool? We just did a story on this. I didn't know much about
it. Does this look infected, Doc? You know, but you don't have to be in the room.
Sending them your iPhone photos of your injuries.
Which don't accidentally post on Instagram after.
Right? Yeah. We've done some stories on midwifery, which I also didn't know it was pronounced midwifery and not midwifery.
I was going to correct you, but I thought maybe I should.
I should have let you correct me.
It's midwifery.
Midwifery.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like my golf swing when I miss.
It does. Yeah, I've been we've since we designated them an official choice employer, I've been so fascinated to learn a lot about the kind of just the health industry in general here, specifically in Wisconsin. It's been just very fascinating.
So it's a midwife.
Yeah.
But it's midwifery.
Yes.
A midwife studies midwifery.
Wow. So now I've really learned something today.
There you go.
Dude, totally. Marshfield Clinic is really cool. I've actually been there for another video project. And it's massive.
It's huge. And they're just, I don't think people, they're in a lot of rural markets across the state of Wisconsin, but I don't think a lot of people realize how renowned, like, the research and the technology is there. I mean, they're just, it's amazing what they're doing. I know they're headquartered, obviously, in Marshfield, Wisconsin, which we talked about in episode 5. But it's just, I think people don't realize just what a leader of a health organization Marshfield Clinic really is right here in Wisconsin.
It draws in doctors and researchers from all over the world. And they've also been a leader in electronic health records. That's what my video subject
was.
Yeah, it was, I was all dressed up in a suit. I was acting like a reporter.
Oh,
you wouldn't even recognize me.
I would like to see this video. I am intrigued.
So, yeah, I mean, it's amazing what they do. And it's one of the reasons Wisconsin leads in healthcare and healthcare technology.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to be joined by our lead cinematographer, Teddy Meyer. Don't go anywhere.
This cool music.
I love this jam. Who's this by?
Who are you?
I'm Teddy Meyer. Who are you? Oh, it's Dave. I couldn't tell.
No, hey, buddy. No. It's Audio Dave.
It's Audio Dave when we're in the cabin.
In this, in the cabin, it's Audio Dave.
Sorry, I know him outside the cabin.
Audio Dave doesn't exist outside the cabin.
It's like his superhero name. I would assume for that.
It's nice to see you not behind the camera.
But behind a mic.
Behind a microphone.
Oh, my gosh.
This feels dangerous
some reason. It does seem a little dangerous.
Giving Teddy a microphone.
Yeah, because I'm just a regular Chatty Cathy here.
You are Chatty Cathy. Yeah. I love that about you.
It's good to see you, Tedward.
It's good to see you,
what'd you call
Eric?
Him?
Tedward.
Actually, yeah. You know what? I have people call me that
all
the time.
Okay. Like
you're actually the second Teddy to grace the cabin studio because that bear over there has been named Teddy the Bear.
Oh, I thought we were calling him Barry. Barry the Bear.
Oh, ooh. I didn't.
But isn't that his last name?
Barry Bear Bear.
Teddy Barry.
Teddy Bear. Okay, wow.
Well, it's official.
This is called a tangent, right?
So
this is the definition of a tangent.
I see the bear on the wall, and you know what? I'll have to admit, it is a good fit for the cabin.
Of course.
Because that bear was in my office. And when I would be out of the office, I would put him in my office chair to seem like someone was working in my office.
Your office looks like a dorm room, which I love. Every time I go in there, I just like stare at all of the things you have hung up.
It's honestly, it's just knickknacks collected from throughout all the shoots. Yeah, from my shoots, from my travels.
Which makes you extremely vulnerable for pranks.
Yes. You guys have gotten me pretty good. I recently found 6 stuffed bears and a stuffed dog. I finally found the last bear. It was in my personal camera bag. And so I had to send it out to one of the producers that put it in there and said, like, hey, finally found the bear.
You also have a gorgeous unicorn poster.
I feel honored to have that poster. I got that for Christmas for our Secret Santa here at work.
It happens to be autographed by yours truly.
I have two autographs from Mariah Hoberman. One is on my unicorn poster, which I live every day by. Be yourself or be a unicorn if you can. And then the second one is, I think it was from like your Christmas parade thing.
I was in a Christmas parade in Hartford, and they gave me the huge sign that you put on the side of your car that says like, this is Mariah from Discover Wisconsin. And they're like, do you want to keep it? And I was like, sure. What do I do with this? So I got back to the office and I was like, I know exactly what to do with this. Do you want to know how hard I was laughing after I signed the unicorn poster?
I'm going to assume really hard because you laugh at your own stuff all the time. So I feel like you're just cracking up the whole time.
Yeah. So you're special, Teddy. I don't even have an autographed thing
for
Mariah.
Well, you need an office here. I feel like he's vulnerable because every time I come up with my awesome prank ideas, I'm like, Teddy, you'll be the victim.
Well, also, it stretches outside the office. I think the best one you got me with was you got a license plate, like a front license plate cover, and you swapped it out like for the front one of my car, and it was on there for, what, a month? Month and a half.
At least
you put it on his car.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I didn't notice
tell him what it said.
All right. Move over, princess, because the queen or
the queen has arrived.
The queen has arrived.
And it had rhinestones on
it. So here's the thing. I think I parked my car in the parking lot. I got back from Las Vegas because I was at NAB, and a winter storm came. So like, you know, snow just caked it. So I didn't pay attention to it at all.
And then spring arrives.
So trees are turning green. The grass is getting greener. And I'm at my parents' house and I'm sitting, like, I'm with my dad and we're having a Hams beer with, like, that's what my dad likes to drink.
Only the best.
Yep. Only the best. And I'm sitting there and I crack it open. And all of a sudden I look at the front of my car and I double take. I'm like, what the heck? And then my dad, just being my dad, he's like, well, it suits you. I'm like, oh, thanks.
Meanwhile,
how long before you tied that to Mariah?
As soon as I saw it, I'm like, that's Mariah written all over it.
Well, anywho, why are you here?
I am here to talk about Columbia County.
Cool, because you're from there.
Yep.
And have we talked about who you are, what you do?
No, I guess I'm just some random voice right now.
Let's start there.
We know all about your license plate, Teddy.
Yes. So I have this sweet license plate. Teddy Meyer. I am the manager of motion media here for Discover Media Works or Discover Wisconsin. I'm sorry.
All the above.
Discover Media Works being the parent company.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. So, do you guys want me to dive into like my day to day?
That's good enough. Okay. So you.
I don't know.
You're behind the camera all the time.
It seems like it was like a job interview thing.
All the cool shots that you see in the show, there's a high chance Teddy had something to do with that. He's one of our drone pilots, and you're just our super awesome camera guy who's been here for a long time.
Well, I'm glad we have that in recording now. So
yeah. Okay, but we want to talk about Columbia County because we have a whole episode coming up about Columbia County, and we thought you would be the perfect guy for this interview because you're from the area.
Yeah, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Partyville.
Home of the watermelon seed spitting competition.
Yes, sir. I remember that was a big day when that reached the weakest link for a question.
Yes, that's right. It was on a game show.
Yep. Everyone talked about that when I was in elementary school. So
that's
that
amazing.
Was hilarious.
The weakest link. And the
person got it wrong. They said strawberries, so it was
idiots.
You can't spit strawberry seeds. How dare you?
Okay, so what were some of the things that you filmed for this episode?
So in this episode, we partner up with the cities of Portage, Poinette, Cambria, and also Columbus. So I kind of had my hands filled in like four of those cities towns and, you know, with the partners there. So yeah, it was pretty much all over Columbia County. So it was kind of like nice to reminisce every time I would go back or check out those towns.
Yeah, you attach memories to a lot of places in there, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, just driving to, you know, Portage is the biggest city in the in the world, or not in the world. It's the biggest city in the world.
It's huge.
Your
it's
world huge. View needs adjusting.
Yeah, I know. It's so weird. Everything's so big for me. No, like Portage, it's the biggest city in Columbia County. So, you know, if you needed to go and get stuff, you'd always go to Portage to get, you know, your groceries or go see a movie or, you know, just find some fun activities to do there as well. And
from a geographic standpoint, it's really cool because the reason it's called Portage is because it was the place where you could portage naturally from the Great Lakes watershed to the Mississippi River watershed. And at Portage, they had that canal.
Yep.
And I
found that. The history there is fascinating.
I'm such a geography nut. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the history of Fort Winnebago and everything there is really fascinating. And the original canal is still there, most of it.
Yep, most of it's still there.
It's not easily navigable now, but you can still see the original canal and how people used to traverse back and forth. And I mean, Portage almost became the next Chicago because of its water position and before the railroads came in.
Can you imagine that, first of all?
Wouldn't that be wild?
That would be crazy.
Gosh. Madison would be a suburb
of
Portage. Portage
would have been like the capital and the, yeah.
That is just very weird to think
about. It's a unique position.
It is. Portage is like the downtown, you know, they redone it and stuff. So you got a nice view of the Wisconsin River while you can take a great walk down there or bike down there.
Yeah,
so it's
there's
amazing.
A, there's historical sense. They've done a great job with their downtown.
Yeah, they really have.
But yeah, a lot of memories growing up there. You know, like just like I would travel to those four towns when I used to play little league football or pee wee football. And it's like,
that's
yep,
so cool.
Remember that.
And then you came back and they were like, is that the Teddy Meyer?
Yeah, that was it. You know, there was just parades.
The triumphant return. I love
It was kind of funny though, because the places I would end up going, like Portage, we filmed at a theater group there. With like a, they would hold like a day camp for kids, and ran into a woman that my little sister was the flower girl in her wedding. When I was filming at the dump in Cambria, I ran into a bunch of people from Partyville that were there. You
Wait,
know.
Back up.
Oh, the dump.
The dump.
Yeah, for
the
people
dump.
Who haven't seen the episode
dump
yet.
Sorry.
In Cambria.
The dump. So we featured one of our partners was the dump in Cambria. It's a bar that is in Cambria, and it's kind of like the lifeline for Cambria. Like they hold an event called the Dump Run, which is like a I know, but it's a bunch of motorcyclists like get together and like they raise money for charities that are happening there. Like a high school football team like helps out and like serves food and stuff. So it kind of brings. The Dump Run kind of brings the community together. They do auctions. They have live music. So it's kind of it's like the center hub to like kind of kick off like before football season kicks off too.
That's a very smart business owner, because you're not going to forget a name like the Dump.
Yeah. I forget. I don't want to butcher it, but like it is mentioned how the Dump got its name in the episode. You'll have to check that out. But Jack Jones, who now owns it, like he's a wonderful guy. He has a sweet voice. You know, it's. He's just like, it's honestly, it's a voice for radio.
I think he said something like when he bought the property, a friend was like, yeah, that place is a dump or something to that effect.
When the previous owner bought it, he was like, well, I guess I bought a bar now. I don't know what I'm going to call it. This place is such a dump.
Yeah.
And then one of his friends
was
like,
the name.
And
the thing is,
there you go.
But the thing is, it is not anywhere close to being a dump.
Very
it is,
misleading.
Yeah.
It's very easy to exceed expectations.
Yeah, food is very
it's the
nice.
Dump.
Like, you know, cold drinks, food is amazing there. Like,
really cool spot.
It's an awesome spot, you know, and it's just right in the middle of downtown Cambria.
I would like to know if there are any wineries in this episode.
Wow. I feel like that was a segue for your
real softball for herself there.
Rock and
we
roll.
Might have to do the intervention for Mariah this time.
The Rock and Roll Winery over there. Yeah. I've been there too. Like I've been there as, you know,
a patron.
As a patron. And like it's a gorgeous place and just in the middle or in the countryside of Poinette.
It's the most Wisconsin winery. And by that I mean you go there and you're like, if you're picturing a winery in Wisconsin, that's not trying to be anything other than just a Wisconsin winery. You know what I mean? Like, there's some wineries out there that are awesome, but they look like they could be
To be Napa or something,
yeah, and some
right?
of them do very well. At, like, that's their thing, and they do very well at that. They're a lot fancier, real pretty. This place is just, like, it's you feel like you're in someone's backyard in the best of ways with great wine. They've got a really cool barn that they renovated. I really want to do a happy hour there.
I feel like that's, like, especially for that, for Columbia County, for like the places that we visit, like the Creek Bed Pharmacy and also like LePex Orchard. It's like, it isn't, they're not trying to make it seem like some type
thing
of
thing. It's not.
It's like, hey, this is
very
you know,
authentic.
Yeah. Like I got, like this free stuff that like, hey, I kind of can build something out of it. Like that's what mm-hmm. I liked about LePex, like just
LePasix.
Or LePasix, sorry. I've been butchering that name. Sorry, LePasix. But it, like I just like the, you know, the style that they had going on there with like all these knickknacks and just taking old farm equipment or old like wagons and like trying to incorporate it into like, you know, a planter, or they have like old tractor tires that they build into like a playground set for like the kids run around on
that's
stuff.
So
and
cool.
Like, I think, and that was kind of like a nice general theme to kind of see, like, it's just, they're not trying to be something that they're not. They're just like, hey, we're Wisconsin.
Here's who we are. Come and enjoy it.
We want to have
it.
Fun. Mm-hmm. This is what our companies are offering, our businesses are mm-hmm. offering. And like, we just want you to have some family fun here while visiting our business.
I love that.
That's nice.
Yeah. Any major challenges from filming that you can recall, Teddy?
Honestly, I think the challenge that you always kind of come across is like where you want to set up mm-hmm. and especially trying to be concerned about, you know, not filming like noise levels or like making sure like it's not too noisy in certain areas and things like that. Like we had some challenges with doing, especially the dump run or the dump, or, like we filmed the Jack Jones, the owner of the dump, in his bar. It was Friday night. Yeah. So it's... Also, a bunch of people go to the dump before, like, the Cambria football game. Mm-hmm. And it is one of those things where it's, like, the noise level is insane.
It was challenging.
And, like, you're trying to, like, listen through your headphones because it looks gorgeous. You want to kind of show how the business is it's busy. But then at the same time, I know...
You want to hear the interview.
I know Audio Dave is like, oh, why did you guys do that?
Audio Dave is always in our heads when we're out on shoots.
Yeah, Dave will always... Audio Dave will always hear something in the background like, sorry, Dave.
Yeah.
But the same thing with the dump run. Like, we were filming and like, you know, it's very hard to try to tune out motorcycle noises driving by. So every once in a while, we would have to stop the interview to kind of be like, hey, this is... there's a motorcycle going by.
Yeah,
you know,
that's tough.
But... Other than that, just set up and then like just trying to stay on the time, like the time frame that we have set up with our partners, so we're not overstaying our visit.
One of your partners is Columbus.
Yep,
it's a good craft brewery there.
Yep,
it's called Cercis. Oh. Cercis. I don't know if it's in the show. Probably not, from the sound of it. But it's a cool brewery.
Well, yeah, because we covered Kurth.
Well, their history in Columbus is great. Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
And Cercis started about a year ago. And I visited shortly after it opened, and that's a really cool one. It's right across from City Hall.
Oh, nice.
They keep a watchful eye over everyone's inviting. But Columbus is such a cool town. And at the other extremely west end of Columbia County, near the Dells, is Port Huron Brewing. So
you
can do a whole...
Nice little brewery tour going
up and down 16. You can hit all of those.
Yeah. Kurth seemed to have some fun history.
Yeah.
Goes way back.
And I think that's kind of like the beauty of like Columbia County. They have so much history. Like if you look at Portage, like they still try to hold on to history to that. Same thing with Columbus. Like even the city hall, it's still used as a city hall, but it is from when it was built, like in the 1800s.
Way
and
something
like that is gorgeous area, you know.
Very, very cool.
Like, so this, I feel like that's always just been a factor for Columbia County, is like trying to hold on to that history or the history factor of their buildings. And
a lot of really old towns.
And the largest antique store in the state is in Columbus.
Is that so?
Right, by the county line, too. Like Columbus is right on the edge.
I've realized I'm getting older, and now I'm like, when you say antique stores, I'm in.
Oh, stuff from when you're in high school. Yeah. You'll find it in there.
Better than going to Target.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm like, let's just go check out some antique stores now.
Okay, I have a question for you. It's not related to this episode.
Sure.
Okay. So we have a segment called Wisconsin in 72. I want you to give this a go. This is where you have 72 seconds to read off the list of events that have been provided for you.
Okay.
Word for word.
Ideally. If you miss a word, you have to start over. I'm just kidding.
I just want to make sure this is the right one I'm reading, right?
It starts on the other side. Yeah.
All right. It starts on the other side.
You get special supper club music.
Oh, like
that will
help
you.
All right. So,
So
that's 72 seconds long.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So,
any questions?
I did this last week. It didn't go that well.
You did pretty good. I gave you some grief, but you did well. And while you're recording, we throw things at you to distract you.
Sweet. That's awesome.
Oh, we've never actually mentioned that before, but now I guess the secret's out.
I'm just all about elevating the game every week.
Before we kick it off, I'm like just looking over Can I ask how to pronounce this?
She will not answer you.
I don't allow those anymore. I've been giving too much leeway.
Namakagan.
Oh,
all right, Teddy.
Wait, so do you just throw random words in there? No, that'd be terrible.
Trick, yeah.
All right.
All right, Audio Dave. Let's do this.
You ready over there?
I am ready.
All right, are you nervous?
I am kind of nervous because reading is not my strong suit, I feel.
If you lose, I will prank you. The best prank ever.
You've already...
That's going to happen anyway.
Yeah, it's going to happen no matter what. All right. So, like, right now? Oh, crap. Let's kick things off. Trip to Rome. Rome, Wisconsin. That is for the indoor winter farmer's market that's taking place this Friday from noon to 3 at the local town hall. Warm food, delicious drinks, and plenty of handcrafted gifts that are sure to impress. It's not quite spring yet, so stay warm indoors while enjoying the feeling of a trip to the farmer's market. Head to Cable this weekend for the Braveheart Midwest Snowshoe Racing Championships. Bring the family and enjoy a weekend in a true winter wonderland. Races are open to everyone, no matter ability or skill level, and they're offering a 5K, 10K mountaineering events, even a snowshoe relay race. This is a good one. If you're going to be up north this weekend, you don't want to miss it. While St. Patrick's Day isn't technically till next Tuesday, you can celebrate in Pickerel this Saturday at the 29th annual Pickerel Pearson St. Patrick's Day Parade. The parade starts at Tombstone Pickerel Snow Club Clubhouse, wow, and concludes at St. Mary's Church on Highway 55. You won't want to head home after the parade because the fun is just beginning. Stick around for some great St. Patrick's Day dancing, tons of good food. All the proceeds from this event go to the Pickerel's Rescue Squad. This
missed one whole event here.
Oh, man. All right. So do I keep going because the music's done?
There's a really cool event happening this Saturday in Burlington. It's a chocolate extravaganza. We'll just leave it there.
Okay. BurlingtonChamber.org for more info.
And check the show notes for a recap of everything.
All right. Yes. I want a redo or a re-challenge on this.
We'll have to have you back.
We'll have you back.
Woo!
You did good.
You know what? The worst one, though, was the Tombstone. Is it Pickerel?
Pickerel? Yeah, you said it right.
Was the Tombstone Pickerel Snow Club Clubhouse. Like,
that's a tongue twister.
Yes. Yeah.
So you have a whole new respect for my radio prowess now, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not. Okay, fine.
I'm kidding.
All right, Teddy.
Everything's
have
TV
a good
now.
One.
Thanks for joining us, Teddy.
Well, thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure.
I'm sorry about the rambling and the tangents.
No, I love your rambling.
And
it's very entertaining.
I'm looking forward to the next prank.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Teddy's so great.
Got off on a few tangents there, but that's good.
You know, yeah. And I one thing I love about this job so much is like all these people that we're interviewing for the show are also like very good friends. So it's impossible to not go on a tangent about the crazy shenanigans we get ourselves into.
Lots of good stories from the road.
It's true.
And
that was
prank
wars are the best. That was a really fun episode, our Columbia County show. I know the McKenzie Center was another thing that didn't get brought up in our interview, but that was a super cool part of the episode. Just a lot of really cool things that haven't been featured on the show in a very long time, and some of them never. So
I understand maple syrup's involved here.
Yeah, yeah. So you'll have to tune in to learn a little bit more about that.
Sounds sticky and good.
Mm-hmm. Good. So you can watch the show on Roku, Apple TV, Smart TV, Google Chromecast, and Amazon Fire, and discoverwisconsin.com, and YouTube.
And YouTube.
Hey, you nailed it.
Nailed them all.
Thank you. Make sure
you leave us a review.
Please do. Yes. And suggestions. We want to hear that. So come to us at our Facebook group, Around the Campfire, with Discover Wisconsin.
Yeah, we love hearing your thoughts about the show, comments,
stuff
we can talk about in the future. We just love to engage with you guys.
We love feedback.
Yeah.
That's right. So we're wrapping it up here for this week's episode of The Cabin. So next week, we're going to talk about Whitewater, which was an episode I was part of that's got a lot of cool...
Oh, that's a really cool episode.
There's a lot of witchcraft.
There is witchcraft. There is witchcraft.
It's pretty cool.
And hang gliding.
Yes.
Hang gliding and witchcraft. The dynamic duo.
Like kibbles and bits.
Today's episode of The Cabin was hosted by me, Mariah Haberman, and Eric Paulson, and Audio Dave, a.k.a. Dave Janis. Produced by me, Ellen Fallon, and Dave. Tune in next week for more campfire conversations and insight into the world of Discover Wisconsin. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover MediaWorks. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com, and don't forget to leave us a review.
And here's this week's installment of Know Your Wisconsin.
Since 1946, Camp Luther welcomes individuals and families who want to grow in service and leadership, strengthen their faith, and develop new and lasting friendships. Through their many summer camps and year-round retreats, people are invited to disconnect with technology and reconnect with their faith and nature.
We want kids to come here and we want them to learn things. We want them to try new things. We want them to make friends so that when they leave here, they're ready to go out and serve people, have friendships, and do whatever they're doing for the rest of their life.
We really just focus on creating experiences here at camp, whether that's in our family camp program or with our youth camp program, that just really makes it fun for campers. We're always trying to instill in them leadership qualities and how they can go out into the world and just be a better person for their communities, whether that's their family or school or friend groups, and then they get to do it here at camp.
People of all ages gather from across the country to engage in the sense of community and togetherness the camp provides. Through intentional activities and experiences, Camp Luther seeks to encourage and build up all in faith and create memories that have a lasting impact in each camper's life.
This experience of working at camp has impacted my life in so many different ways. I love this place and how it works through me and in me.
I personally want people to leave knowing that they are loved, knowing that they are a part of something bigger than who they themselves are. I want people to know that they're not alone in anything.
And now you know your Wisconsin.